like to welcome you all this morning, especially our mothers and grandmothers. We can never thank you enough for all that you do for us every day. This program is just a small token of our appreciation. Mr. George Knowlton is going to now have our prayer.
So much for the opportunity we have to be here, and Lord, we are just so thankful for all the mothers who are represented here today. Lord, we thank you for their blessings on this church. We thank you for the many ways that they've sacrificed and given to it so that many could do a lot. Lord, we just pray that you make your presence known with us today and just be with us as we celebrate this day. We pray these and all the things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The children's choir will now come sing a few songs and express their appreciation to all moms. God's word gives us account of godly mothers from the beginning of creation. From these women, we learn about the joys and trials of motherhood and how God provided for the needs of each one. Listen carefully to the stories as we step back in time. Sarah, the oldest mother ever. Sarah was one of several women in the Bible who was childless, which caused her much anguish. It was especially distressing because God had promised Abraham, her husband, that he would become a father of many descendants, more numerous than the stars in the sky. How could God keep his promise if she was well beyond her childbearing years? Had God forgotten the promise he had made to Abraham many years before? After many years of frustration, Sarah decides to take matters into her own hands and devises a plan that would allow Abraham to have a son by another woman, which was the accepted practice in ancient times. Though she felt that God had intended and did forgotten his promise, he had not. At ripe old age of 90, Sarah found out that she was going to be a mother after all. She gave birth to a healthy baby boy, whom they named Isaac. This miracle child became a patriarch of the nation of Israel. Sarah's life teaches us that nothing is impossible with God, and that the time of waiting may be God's precise plan for each of us. Jochebed, a woman of courage. Jochebed was the brother of Moses, who cleverly devised a plan to protect her infant son from certain death. Pharaoh had given an order to kill all male Hebrew babies. Instead of allowing her child to be killed, Jochebed took a basket and coated it with tar to make it waterproof. Then she placed baby Moses in the basket and set it along the reeds of the Nile River, where Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe. How anxious she must have been to know that her defenseless child would be at the mercy of the one who had ordered his death. But she trusted in God, knowing that God had special plans for her and her child. God honored her prayer and Moses' safety and allowed Jochebed to care for her son until he was old enough to be weaned. She then gave him over to the custody of Pharaoh's household. She could not have foreseen that her baby would grow up to be one of God's greatest leaders, for he was chosen to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the promised land. By letting go and trusting God, an even greater dream was fulfilled. Hannah, a mother of a prophet. Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, longed for a child of her own. People in ancient Israel believed that a large family was a blessing from God. Being childless was a source of humiliation and shame. To make matters worse, Hannah was often tormented by Elkanah's other wife, who had borne him children. Hannah, a woman of great faith, prayed to God that he might grant her the desire of her heart to bear a child. She made a promise to God that the child she would bear would be dedicated to his service. God blessed Hannah with a son, and she named him Samuel. Hannah kept her promise to God and handed the young child over to Eli to be trained as a priest. Samuel grew in wisdom and became a prophet who faithfully served the Lord. From Hannah, we learn that God hears and answers our prayers. Hannah never gave up. She waited many years for God to answer her prayer. Hannah teaches us to never give up, to honor our promise to God, and to praise God for his wisdom and kindness. Mary, a young mother. Mary was a young girl, probably only 12 or 13 years old, when an angel Gabriel appeared to her with news that she, a virgin, would become a mother to the Son of God. Though she could not comprehend how all of this would happen, she responded in immediate obedience. Imagine the faith it must have taken to believe that would happen just as the angel said it would. Although Mary's life held great honor, her calling would demand great suffering as well. Just as the pain in childbirth and motherhood, there would be much pain in the privilege of being the mother of the Son of God. God knew that Mary was a woman of rare strength and courage. She's the only human being to be with Jesus throughout his whole entire life, from birth until his death. She gave birth to him as her baby and watched him die as her savior. Mary must have known that her submission to God's plan would cost her. If nothing else, she knew she would be disgraced as an unwanted mother. She probably feared that Joseph would divorce her or maybe even have her stoned to death. Still, she willingly submitted to God's plan. She is remembered for her obedience to God. From Mary, we learn to open our hearts and trust in the Lord, even when we don't understand how things might turn out. Each of these women left a strong legacy that we can learn from. From them, we understand that motherhood is often filled with challenges and disappointments. We also learn that motherhood is a blessing from God, and to turn to him for direction, strength, and guidance. Words of thanks and appreciation from our children. We hope you enjoyed this unedited video and interview.
Can you tell me what your mama's name is? What is it? Can you say a little louder? Okay. What is your favorite food that your mama cooks for you?
Everything.
What? Stop it. Can you tell me what your mama's name is?
Kennedy.
Okay. What's the favorite food your mama cooks for you?
Everything.
What do you like about your mom?
That I get to spend time with her.
What's your favorite activity to do with your mom?
Sewing and painting.
What makes your mom special?
She's superwoman.
Okay, for the two of y'all, what quality traits do you appreciate about your mom?
Going through the teenage years, you know, I'm not the worst teenager, but she's always there to listen and help me solve them.
It's the way she cares for us, shows mercy. It's just great.
And what message would you like to send your mom?
Just that we are so grateful for what you do for us, and you're just superwoman. We're so grateful for you.
JC, can you tell me something about your mama?
Hey.
All right. Clara, what's your favorite thing to do with mama?
Help her sweep.
Okay. Sadie, what makes your mom so special?
Because she cooks.
Oh yeah.
Addie, what's your favorite thing to do with your mom?
Play games with her.
Okay. And Grace, what makes your mom so special?
Maybe she loves God.
Okay. What do you like about your mom? What do you like to do with your mama?
I like to ride the phone.
Okay. And what do you like to help mama cook? Or what's your favorite food mama cooks?
Tell us again.
Say a little bit louder.
Look at me.
Dinosaurs.
Ready?
No.
Something special about you. Or what do you like to do with mama? Go.
Okay. Sierra, what do you like about your mom?
She hugs me and kisses me.
Okay. Chelsea, what's something special about your mom?
She has a lot of patience with me.
Benjamin,
what
is something that you love about your mommy?
I think chicken.
You like her chicken? What do you like to do with her? What's something special that y'all do?
I wait with my mama.
Something special you do with her? What was it?
I wait with my mama.
Okay. What does Dory like to do with her mommy?
She likes to wear her quilt.
Oh, okay.
She's got a small quilt.
Can you tell your mommy something special? Tell your mommy something special. Can you say, I love you, mommy?
I love you, mommy.
What's your mommy's name?
Deanna.
What is something that you love about your mommy?
That she drives me on a four-wheeler.
Oh, what's something that your mommy cooks that you love?
Some steaks.
Steak. I love steak. What's your mommy's name? Mama, what do you love about your mommy? Mac, what's something you love about your mom? Does she play games with you? What else? Does she cook good? What does she cook that you love? Chicken. Spaghetti. Can you say, I love you, Mommy? Mac, you ready? Say, I love you, Mommy. Can you say that?
I love you, Mommy.
Go.
Okay, Liam, what's your mama's name? What's your mama's name?
Lauren.
Okay. What is your favorite food that your mama cooks for you?
Spaghetti.
Okay. And what do you like to do with mama? What's your favorite thing to do with mama? Do y'all play games? What kind of games do you play?
Chase.
Chase? Oh, can you tell me what your mama's name is?
Lala.
Okay. And what something special you like to do with mama?
Wash dishes.
Okay. And what's your favorite food that mommy cooks?
Tacos.
Okay. Do y'all have something you want to tell mama?
Mama, my whole big body eat chips there.
Okay.
I love you, Mama.
Okay, Aubrey, can you tell me what your mama's name is? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Amanda.
Okay. And Ander, tell me what you like about your mama. What makes her so special?
She's always nice to me. She's never mean, and she always lets me have my friends over.
Okay, and do y'all want to tell her something? What do you want to tell her, Aubrey?
Tell her.
I
love you.
I love you, Mom.
Okay, Jonathan, can you tell us what your mama's name is?
Mary.
Okay, and can you tell us something about your mama?
She loves me.
Okay.
She has a gun for us.
Okay. All right, Allison, can you tell us something special about your mom?
She's nervous.
Okay, Annabelle? All right, can you tell us something special about your mom?
She takes care of us.
Okay, and would y'all like to say something to Mama?
We love you, Mama.
Jonathan? Okay, I love you, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Okay, please. What's your mama's name?
Roxanne.
Okay. What's your favorite food your mama cooks for you?
Pancakes.
Okay. How about you? What's your favorite food mama cooks for you?
Same thing.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to do with your mom?
On vacation.
You told him that.
What do you like about your mom? Both of you.
She's funny.
How about you, Blaze?
Same thing.
She's saying that.
Okay, can you tell us what your grandmama's name is?
Danny Faye Welch.
Okay. And what do you like about your grandma?
She's fun sometimes.
Okay. And what makes your grandma so special?
She takes care of us.
Okay. And what is your favorite food that she cooks for you?
Chicken and dumplings.
All right. And is there something that y'all would like to tell her?
We love you.
Nick, what's your mama's name?
Natalie.
Okay. And what do you like about your mom?
She's nice.
Okay. What's your favorite food that your mom cooks?
Pork chop.
Alright. What's your favorite activity that you like to do with them?
Ride
bikes. Alright. And is there a message you like to send to mom?
What's your mom's name?
Mom is
Martha.
Martha.
What do you love about your mom?
We love mow the lawn.
She cares? She cares about me.
About me.
Okay. How about Mom Green?
Mr. Green.
What do you love about Mom Green?
She's a mother and a nurse.
She's a mother and a nurse. Good.
My mom's name is Dell, and
And what I love about her is no matter how crazy I get, she always calms me down. She is my best friend.
I admire my mom for all the time she spends with us and all the quality time she spends with all the young people of our church also. I also admire her creative side and her and how she teaches really well. Right? I don't like how I said that. I admire my mom for all her creative ideas and all her good teaching that she always teaches me and also other members of our church and all the younger people of our church. And I would like to thank her for all the time she spends with everybody, all the children and us.
Good.
My mama is Sarah Green. I love how she is always willing to give up her time for me and my siblings, and I just want to say that I love her, and I want to thank her for all the time that she gives us.
Love you, Mom, for all you do for me.
My mom is Bonnie Hickman, and my mom is really, she's my rock because she's always there for me when I need her, and she always has the right things to say. And every time I have troubles with just about anything, I always know I can go to my mom and she will just be there to support me. And I love you, Mom.
Our mom is Amy Shearer.
What's something special about your mom or something good that she cooks? Say it again.
She has French fries.
Oh, what's a quality trait of your mom that you admire?
She is a nurse and she helps people get back to health.
Good. Is there something I would like to say to your mom on this special day?
I love you.
I love you, Mom.
What's your mom's name?
Aunt Ashley.
Okay. Tell me some special things about your mom. And Grace, what are some special things about your mom?
She loves
God. Great. Addie, what are some things that you like to do with your mom?
Play games with her, and she loves God and Jesus.
Great. And if I asked you a special message that you have for your mom today, what would it be?
I love you.
Great. What's your mom's name?
Erica.
Now, what are some what's something special about your mom? What are some things you love about your mom?
She's fun.
Good. Now, what do you like to do with her?
Swimming.
Are there any favorite foods that your mom makes? Pizza. Is there a special message you would like to tell your mom today?
I love you.
What's your mom's name?
Melissa.
What are some special things that you like to do with your mom? George? Go to ball games? What else? Swimming? Play games, okay. Savannah, what's something that you love about your mom?
Stop.
What's your mom's name?
Melissa.
What are some things that you like to do with your mom, George?
Play games.
Okay. Savannah, what is one of the most favorite things that your mom cooks?
My dad cooks.
Okay, so is there anything that you would like to tell your mom today?
You're the best.
I
love you.
What's your mom's name?
Tanya.
What is the most favorite food that your mom makes?
Homemade ice cream.
Oh, how about, is there something that you love to do with your mom?
Go to the beach.
Oh, that's a good thing. Now, is there a special message you would like to give your mom?
Happy Mother's Day.
What's your mom's name?
Carly.
What's something special about your mom? Addie?
She cooks for us and she takes us to school and she does a lot for us and she teaches little kids at her school and she used to teach us.
Okay. Is there anything that your mom cooks that you love?
Chicken.
Chicken.
Black and chicken. Oh. She calls it.
good. Is there anything else that you like to do with your mom or any special times that you've had?
She takes me to, I do dance, and she takes me to dance competitions, and we have a good time together. And sometimes we'll invite our aunt, and we'll all just kind of sit around and talk and play and stuff. And sometimes Peyton and Bryce will come, and my dad. And I go to the store with my mom a lot, and we go shopping together.
Okay. Do y'all have a special message for your mom?
I love you.
We love you.
What's your mom's name?
Susan Anderson.
Okay. Is there anything special about your mom that you admire?
She's really supportive of anything that I do, and she's always there for whenever I need her.
Great. Brittany, is there anything that your mom cooks that you love?
Her macaroni and cheese.
Good. Jimmy, what do you like to do with your mom?
Let her help her in the yard and clean up.
Okay. Is there a special message you have for your mom?
We love you.
What's your mom's name?
Miss Shelley Welsh.
Okay. What do you like to do with your mom?
We like to play with the puppies.
And we like to.
We like to play with the macaroni.
We like
the. Oh, that's the favorite thing that your mom cooks.
Yeah. We like to make sandwiches.
Good. Well, do y'all have a special message for your mom?
Yes. Happy Mother's Day.
What's your mom's name?
Emmy Shearer.
So can you tell us some characteristics or traits about your mom that you admire?
She always puts us first, and she's always willing to sacrifice to make us happy.
Do you have a special message for her today?
I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Heather Knowlton is now going to sing for us.
With dirt on my face, I'd been out in the yard picking dandelions all day. I burst through the front door when I gathered enough to give to my mom to show her my love. And when I held out my hands, she looked down at me. She said, I've never seen flowers as beautiful as these. She's the one who told me about Jesus. She's the one that taught me to sing. She deserves an arm full of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. Now that I'm older and out on my own, I wish I could find more time to make it back home. I could have done better, I know in my heart, than to scribble a note on a last minute card. And then she calls on the phone. The first thing she says is, I've read this card over and over again. She's the one that told me about Jesus. She's the one that taught me to sing. She deserves an full of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. She's always known what true love means, so I want her to know what she means to me. She's the one who told me about Jesus. She's the one that taught me to sing. She deserves an arm full of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. She's more than satisfied with a handful of weeds.
About 10:35, but at this time we will dismiss to your normal Sunday school classrooms. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. It is good to see such a large crowd here this morning. And let me start by saying to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day to you all. And hopefully today is a very special day for you, not only today, but every day. But hopefully you were here this morning for the Mother's Day program. If you were not, you missed a special treat. And I do want to just say a special thank you to all those who had a hand in putting that together. I know a lot of time and effort went toward that, but we truly did appreciate it. It was a true blessing. I have just a few announcements this morning. One is from the WMS. They have a mission action. It's Cash for Our College. And they have two cans up here at the front of the church. I believe there's another one on that side. And they're raising money to help the college with maintenance needs. If you can, please help support this project. Also, for tonight, we just want to remind you that our evening services are dismissed. We will not have any evening services here tonight. Hopefully you'll spend that time with your family and enjoy that time together. Were there any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Better.
Good morning. Several announcements. Hopefully all the ladies got a rose from our youth committee. Just appreciation for you and what y'all do for our church. If you did not get one, we do have several left. I know there's some over here behind Miss Blank. So after church, if you didn't get one, come by and pick one up. We have several left. And the second thing, we have our spring retreat for our young kids this weekend. We'll leave the church, meet here at the church at 4, and we'll do our best to leave by 4:30. We're going down to Camp S&M in Cameron, South Carolina. It's for ages 6 through 5th grade, and the application's in the hallway. The day is the deadline, but I know how we work and operate around here. You can still turn it in. I just need to order the T-shirts and make sure we have enough food and so forth. So if you're going or if you'd like to volunteer, please see me today or call me, text me, or whatever. Just get in contact with me. If your kid wants to go, just contact me, and I'll put them down, and I'll just get the application later. If you have any questions about that, just see me. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. With any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Yes, sir. Scott.
One thing real quick. Our men's group will be meeting Saturday at my house at 6. We won't have the Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll have the combined meeting this Saturday, 16th, at my house at 6.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. I'll echo that, too. I agree. If you can make it on Wednesday nights, we think you would really, really be blessed by that time together. It is a great time of study and prayer with each other. So, yes, if you can be there, be there. Any other announcements this morning? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share? Okay. If not, let's open up with a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for just allowing us to be here together and for watching over us and caring for us and providing for us and blessing us, Lord, with this building that we have to come together and to worship. And I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time this morning. And I do pray especially today for our mothers as we recognize them on Mother's Day. We thank you, Lord, for them and just pray for them and ask, Lord, that you would help them to faithfully fulfill the role as a mother that you've called them to fulfill. And we pray the same for fathers, for all parents, Lord, that you would help us to do what you have called us to do as parents, to raise our children as you have called us to do so. Bless this service now, Lord. Prepare our hearts and our minds. Make us receptive to your word. May we take it and apply it to our lives so that we can better serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we gather together today to honor our mothers, we also gather to worship the Lord. As believers, we are a family of God, and we again say this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Join together as we have the call to worship. He is Lord, followed by faith of our mothers, which will be on the scrolling. Let us stand together. He is Lord, He is Lord. and he is risen from the dead, singing in worship and praise together. Faith of our mothers, living still, joining together, singing. And while you're standing, joining together and greeting each other in the name of Jesus today.
Indeed, what a joy to be in God's house this morning, to honor mothers, but even more importantly than mothers, honoring Christ. Because if our mothers have not knelt before Calvary, if they have not embraced Christ, then they cannot be the kind of mother that they'd really need to be. So let's kneel before Christ again this morning and ask his blessing upon us. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Friday, it is in the bulletin. Friday morning, he is going to have his procedure that he's been waiting for. So please remember Mr. Jim and, for the rest of them that are listed there as well. All important. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before you this morning because we recognize that it is you and in you alone that we not only find life, but we find purpose. And Lord, that you bring things together for us in a way that no one else can. And so, Lord, we certainly pray for our mothers, and we thank you for them. We thank you for their commitment to you and for the way that they're trying to truly serve you with all that they are, knowing that the closer they are to you, the better mothers that they become. So, Lord, encourage them. And Lord, on this day where motherhood is honored in a special way, Lord, may your presence just simply surround their lives, giving them the encouragement, Lord, to face the difficult days that motherhood often brings. Sometimes there's sorrows, there many times there's joy, but at all times, Lord, may they simply keep their eyes and their faith in you. And Lord, as your church gathered, we know that all Sundays remind us of the resurrection of our Lord. And Lord, just as Stephen looked up into heaven and saw you standing at the right hand of the Father, Lord, today we pray you draw back the curtains and allow us to see your living presence as well. Because, Lord, we want you alive and living in us and living in our church, that we might truly be a congregation that is on fire, moved by the Spirit out into our community with a message that truly will turn things on their end. And we pray for those that are listed in our bulletin. Lord, special needs, Lord, even this week. Procedures that are going to be done. Decisions that are going to be made. And Lord, lives that are truly, well, they're hurting right now. And so we're praying for your grace and for your comfort to come upon them. To touch them. Because we believe. We believe that your touch makes all the difference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maggie, come bless our hearts at this time in song, and let us look to the Lord as she shares this song concerning mothers.
She cries and I come running to kiss away the tears. I draw her gently to me and calm her deepest fears. I can hold her and I can love her and I can pray for her each day. But I'll need your hands to mold her and teach her of your ways. So I pray that she would see in me a love she needs to know, a love that goes beyond my arms and will never let her go. 'Cause the helpless cries are sometimes mine. Father, show me what to do. As I pray that she would see in me a love that leads to you. At night I watch her sleeping. I touch her tiny face and pray that as I'm leaving, you would lead me by your grace. This mother's heart is longing to guide her as she grows, till one day, Lord, the love she's seen, she'll also come to know. So I pray that she see in me a love she needs to know, a love that goes beyond my arms and will never let her go. 'Cause the helpless cries are sometimes mine. Father, show me what to do. As I pray that she would see in me a love that leads to you. Her little eyes are watching. They see everything we do. As she follows our footsteps, may they lead her straight to you. May May they lead her straight to you. Lord, I pray that she would see in me a love she needs to know, a love that goes beyond my arms and will never let her go. 'Cause the helpless cries are sometimes mine. Father, show me what to do. As I pray that she would see in me. Lord, I pray that she would see in me a love she needs to know, a love that goes beyond my arms and will never let. 'Cause the helpless cries are sometimes mine. Father, show me what to do. As I pray that she would see in me a love that leads to you.
come forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are blessed, and every good gift we have comes from you, and we thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings you give us, the material blessings, the relationships, all those things you've blessed us with, Lord. I pray that we would never waste it or take it for granted, but that we would be good stewards of all you've blessed us with. As we give this portion back now, we pray that you would take it and use it for your honor, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Certainly on this day, one of the great themes of the services have been the matter of love. One of the most powerful words the Lord ever spoke in his gospel as it relates to us, behold how they loved one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. As a family of God, let's join together in singing number 284, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And let us stand and worship together in song. While singing, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. Let us join together, and may it truly be our heart song, We Are Christians by Our Love.
Yeah.
Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
Sometimes it amazes me some of the things that people believe. Some believe that whatever will be, and there's just absolutely nothing that you can do about it. That's called fate, and to me, that's a tough way to believe. Other people believe in this sense of blind randomness. You know, some people are lucky, and some people are not. What a terrible way to go through life. It's just, well, if I'm lucky, good. If I'm not, well, it's just not going to be a good one. Others believe, you know, what goes around comes around. You hear it? You know, you do good, and good comes back to you. If you do bad, bad comes back to you. And if it doesn't come back to you in this life, at least in the reincarnation, it'll come back to you. They believe in karma. See, everybody believes in something. And the truth is, it makes a difference in what we believe. See, we're Christians and we believe in God. We don't believe in fate, we don't believe in luck, and we certainly do not believe in karma. We believe in God's love and God's power to save us and the power to protect us and to guide us. We believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and we believe that that wasn't just another senseless death of an innocent man because of the hatred of the world, but somehow in that death, Jesus took everything that separates us from God, and he paid our price, he paid our death, that if we would embrace him at Calvary, that we could enter into the presence of God. We believe that all people everywhere have a choice, an opportunity to open up their lives and enter into this salvation. We believe that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And we believe that there is no power on earth that can overpower the church of the living Christ because he is Lord of the church. And maybe as crazy as it sounds this morning, we believe that somehow God wants to be with us, even though we know us all too well. I like the story of a young man that went to his rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, why did not God give manna, you know, enough for a week or for a month or for a year at one time? Why did God only give manna every day?" And the rabbi said, "Well, let me explain it to you like this. There once was a king, and every year he gave his son an annual allowance, but it soon became that the only time that he saw his son was on that very one day. And so the king decided that he would simply give him his allowance every day. That way, the king could spend time with his son every single day. Thus has God dealt with Israel." It's amazing to us. We believe, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us what we need. God wants us each and every day to come to him and to enjoy and to feel his presence in our lives. And we believe that. Doesn't matter that not just on Sundays do we think that God wants to be, but God wants to be with us on Monday through Saturday as well. See, it makes a huge difference this morning what we choose to believe. But of course, Christianity is more than simply just believing. It is also wonderfully about belonging. Because in that moment, when we step over the line, when we open our lives and we invite Jesus to come into our hearts and into our lives, when we step from death unto life, we know that as we begin to experience God's forgiveness in our life, in that very moment, we became a part of his very special people. We became part of God's family. And look, I know that the last few months have hurt on many levels, but we're family in Christ Jesus. We love each other no matter what, and we are on God's mission together. And as God's family, we have all the joys and the responsibilities and blessings that come from being family. And it isn't as if we just get to pick and choose. We want the joys and the blessings, but we won't accept the responsibilities. See, it makes a difference what we believe. Because we need to believe that in Jesus Christ, we are members of his family. And that makes a wonderful difference, knowing that we belong to the body of Christ. He's guiding us through life. I mean, Jesus is better than any GPS that you've got out there, all right? If you listen to what he's telling you every single day, he's going to lead you through life so that when you get to the end of your life, you can look back and you can proclaim with the Apostle Paul, "I have kept the faith and I've finished the course that the Lord has laid out for me." What a joy it is to be able to know that the Lord is guiding us. It makes a difference. Well, Jesus laid out to the disciples before he left. He laid out to them something that wasn't a take it or leave it. It wasn't something that they could do if they could find some time to do it. No, he laid out their journey for them very clearly. We find it in Matthew's gospel. Listen to the words of Matthew as he describes it. He says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" You see, the going and the making of the disciples, well, it was in no way optional to them. You know that? I know that. I mean, that's just the way that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be out there trying to lead people to Christ. I mean, period. That's what we are to do as a church. But it comes in two parts. He said, you go and you make disciples, and part of them is baptizing them and teaching them. I mean, baptism, yes, is a time of great affirmation where we're proclaiming our faith in Jesus, but more than that, it is God also saying, yes, I've accepted you into my family, and now you're a part of the church. See, baptism is a moment not only of believing, but also of belonging. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we wear our baptism knowing that because we have been baptized into the body of Christ, we belong. Giving our lives to Jesus is to belong. And when we belong, that's why fellowship. Think about it. You go read the opening chapters of the book of Acts, and what you're going to find is, man, they love to fellowship all the time. And fellowship really is a key component of the ministry of the church. Truth is, some may not like it, but in Christ, we are one with each other. We are one hand in hand. You know, you can't pick your friends, or you do get to pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And see, at Calvary, we're family. I mean, sometimes you just know that fellowship is so sweet and so powerful. As we get to know each other and build relationships, it's a powerful moment. And that's really what fellowship is. It's more than just eating together, though there's nothing wrong with eating when we fellowship, but it's about building relationships. So for us to be Christians, for us to be the church that Christ wants us to be, then we've got to love each other and we've got to spend time with each other so that we can begin to build those healthy, strong relationships that will allow us to be there to support each other and to pray for each other and to hold each other up. And by the way, most fellowship doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. You know it and I know, right? I mean, we come together and we got worship and we do a little bit of talking, but if you really want to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ today, it's more than what we do here on Sunday morning. We got to get out there where life is lived and get to know them and spend time with them. And when we do, what we're going to find is the true blessings of what it means to be a part of the church. Look, nothing derails the church faster than a break in fellowship. And though things at times may be tough for us, we know that God can work out all things, not for our glory, but for His. Look, we need each other. That's the bottom line. We need each other in order to grow, in order to know the depth of blessing that God wants us to have. Now, those who decide that they won't go to church and worship, see, they just don't get it. They just don't. When they say they can live out their Christian faith, they don't have to go to church, they don't have to go to Bible study, they don't have to spend any time with their brothers, they just don't get it. Now, it's true that we can worship alone and we can study alone, but there's also something that as we dig deep into the Word of God, what we're going to find is we need each other. See, it's kind of like a football player and saying, you know, I love to play football, but I'm not going to play on no team. It don't work. It just doesn't work that way. I like what Rick Warren once said a couple of years ago. He said, can you imagine somebody walking up to Jesus and said, man, I love you, man, but I just can't stand your wife. Yeah, it's a package deal. It's a package deal. To embrace Christ is to embrace His bride. And I know with technology now, things are different. And in many ways, it truly is helpful because some people can't get out. We can live stream and they can get copies of the service. And that's all good and well. But sometimes you need a hug, right? And if you're at home watching, you can go up and you can hug your laptop, you can hug your TV, but it's not going to hug you back. It's not going to hug you back. Yeah, see, belonging, that's where it's at. We come together and we're there for each other. And in belonging, see, that is a big part of really what being baptized is. It says, man, I belong. Look at, and when you think about how that together we get to start enjoying things together. And you know what? Anybody that says Christians don't enjoy life, they don't get it either. They haven't read the Gospels. Jesus enjoyed life. Fact is, that's why he got zinged all the time. He was enjoying it too much, according to some. Man, he went to parties and festivals and weddings and dinners and all kinds of things. And quite honestly, some of them just didn't like it. They called him a drunkard and a glutton because a friend of tax collectors of sinners. But you know what? I don't think Jesus wore that as a badge of shame. I believe he wore it as a badge of honor. Saying, yes, I'm enjoying life. And you know what? If we can't enjoy life, you tell me who can. Because you know what? As hard as life gets, I know where my future is. As hard as some days are, I know that the Lord is standing right there beside me. And because he's beside me, I can be obedient and I can have the courage to keep going when I don't want to go forward. But I can go forward anyway because he's with me. Man, if we can't enjoy life, who can? Well, Jesus enjoyed life. And truth is, we especially need fellowship. Don't we need each other, especially when it gets hard? Not so much what people are going to say to us or do for us, but just the fact that they're going to rally around us and be there for us. I see that even in Jesus, don't you? Look, before the terribleness of the cross and as it was slapping him in the face, where did he go to pray? Gethsemane. Did he take somebody with him? You bet he did. He took the disciples with him. And not only did he take the 11 with him, but he also grabbed Peter, James, and John, said, come a little closer. Stay a little closer to me. They weren't going to be able to do anything because only Jesus could do what was coming, but he wanted them close. Why? Because in the most difficult moments of his life, he wanted the closeness of his disciples. See, loneliness is a terrible thing. I mean, it's sad. I mean, there's all kinds of studies that show how that it so adversely affects us physically. It really just devastates us emotionally at times. In fact, people are so lonely out there. Chuck Swindoll told about a lady in Kansas. And she took out an ad in her local paper and said, I will listen to you talk, I think, for like 15 minutes for $5. And he said, you think it's a hoax, but he said, but it wasn't a hoax. And the truth is, within less than a month, she was taking 20 to 30 calls from people paying $5 just to hear her say, Why? Because they were so lonely. They wanted to belong. They wanted someone to care about them. Oh, where was the churches of that community? That people might have to pay for somebody to listen to them. Where were the God's people that they might go out and embrace that type of loneliness and say, you can come because Calvary is open to all. We'll put our arms around you and we'll love you and we'll hold you up. Yeah. Loneliness is a difficult thing. Belonging to Christ means fellowship, and that's a sweet thing. Because the better we know each other, the better we can help carry each other's burdens. And when we carry each other's burdens, according to Paul, we fulfill the law, the love of Christ. And to the Corinthians, Paul said, you know what? If somebody's laughing, go laugh with them. If somebody's crying, you go cry with them. Why? Because we enjoy both the joys and the sadness of life together. People need people. I need you. You need me. There's just no substitute for belonging in Christ's church. Solomon put it this way. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him get up. But pity the man who falls and doesn't have anyone to help him get up. So I'm thinking if two are better than one, I'm thinking 20's got to be better yet. And I'm thinking even 100 is still better. And in Proverbs it says a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Translation, we stand together no matter what. And when we do, think about the difference we get to make. And I don't know a whole lot about, I was reading in Dale Galloway's book recently, and he was talking about how that a workhorse could typically, an average one, whatever that is, and I don't know, but an average workhorse could pull about 2 tons by itself. So he said, you put two workhorses pulling separately, and so you got about 4 tons. And he said, but amazingly, you put the two horses together, and it's not that just that they can pull then 4 tons together, and it's not even that they can pull even 8 tons. It's not even that they can pull 6. They can pull 18 tons when they're coupled together, go in the same direction. Work those percentages out in your mind, folks. Think about how that when we come together, see, what we can do individually, yeah, there's stuff, but when we come together, think of the amazing difference it makes as we forge forward with Christ. And the truth is, generally speaking, the better we know each other, the more we care about each other, generally speaking. That's really the premise the missionaries have in Deputation, isn't it? They want you to know them. They want you to get to know them and to know their ministry, because they know that if you really do know them and you care about them, what? You're going to pray for them. You're going to support them because you now have a connection with them. And the call of Christ, the call of the church, is that the church is that one place in all the world where anyone and everyone can belong. And all they've got to do is come and kneel at Calvary before Christ. Someone once tried to make the point that the biggest counterfeit of the church was the local bar. They said at the local bar you could go, and it was open and inclusive, and most people would welcome you there. And the point kind of went that people go to the bar not because there's a bunch of alcoholics out there, just because it's a place where they can belong. And I don't know if there's any truth at all of that. In fact, I would question some of the premises of the article that I read. But I do know this. Part of our DNA, part of the way that God made us to be, is simply that we long for and desire fellowship with others. And because that desire is so strong within everybody, that is one of the great sources of outreach that we can ever use as a church, when we lovingly say, you can belong here. Not because we say so, but because Jesus says so. Look, it makes a difference, a huge difference, what we believe. And what we need to understand and believe this morning is that in Christ, we belong. See, baptism is just that sign. He said, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God said, yes, yes, you belong. You belong to me. And because you belong to me, you can know that I will always be in fellowship with us, right? Think about how Jesus, the very last words that Jesus left them, according to Matthew, was what? Fellowship words. I will be with you always. With you. That's relationship words. And so this morning I tell you that if you're out of fellowship with God because you've got sin in your life. I mean, if you've never got past the doubts. Maybe you've got doubts about Jesus. Maybe you've got doubts about what giving your life to him is going to mean. Maybe you've got doubts that Jesus will forgive you because, well, you're just not a very good person. I don't know what your doubts might be. But this morning, I'm encouraging you to step beyond the doubts and simply to come. If you come with all of your doubts, if you open your life to Jesus, what you're going to find is that Jesus has a very special place for you and just you in his church. And I don't have to convince you of anything about doubts this morning if you've got them. You know you do already. All I'm encouraging you to do on behalf of Christ is to step out and come and just say, here I am, Lord, doubts and all. Won't you enter my life? But for us as God's people, and this message has been primarily for us, hasn't it? You see, in just a little bit, just a few minutes, we're going to go out there in that big bad world yet again. And you know what? There's some people out there that not only do not care about us, there's some people out there that really don't like us at all. But how wonderful is it to know that we go out in the bond of Christ? That we do not go out there alone, but that Christ goes with us and we have each other. One of the greatest lines out there in talking with people, when somebody comes, man, I've got your back. Don't just make you say, okay, I've got this too. We've got each other's back, right? Why? Because we're brothers and sisters. We're family. We're family. I read And this caught my attention because the teenage girl in the story had the same name as my daughter. Her name was Jamie. And Jamie, as a 13-year-old, lost her left arm in an accident. She healed rather quickly, at least physically, but emotionally she did not heal. Very self-conscious, very, very difficult. I mean, she just didn't want to be around people anymore. She knew she was missing her arm. And her parents tried to encourage her. I mean, they really couldn't even get her to go to school. They tried to get her to go to church. I mean, she'd been raised in church. She had a wonderful Sunday school teacher. And by the way, Sunday school teachers, you do a wonderful job, by the way. You have a wonderful privilege and opportunity and blessing. But her Sunday school teacher would stop by almost every week and say, won't you come to Sunday school? And just assured Jamie that, look, we won't make a big deal out of anything. We won't draw any attention to you. You just come. And so, on Sunday, Jamie surprised her parents and said, yes, she wanted to go to Sunday school. And wouldn't you know it, the teacher that had been so faithful in visiting her was sick that Sunday. And so had a substitute, and the substitute really didn't know anything really that was going on, just filling in like so many of you have done, you know. There's a need, I'm here, I'll do it. That's also having each other's back, right? Somebody's sick and can't be there, hey, I'll step up. What are we got? But they didn't know the story about Jamie and her arm and the way she felt. And the class had went fine anyway, because God does that, right? And at the end of it, it just kind of dawned upon the teacher, and I don't know what the lesson was about, but he decided he was going to end with having the teenage class do that children's poem about where you put your fingers together like this and you make a steeple in the doors and you say, you know, here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. And Jamie began to cry. And another 13-year-old boy who saw it got up out of his seat just before she ran out of the study. And he ran up to her in emotion for her to put her hand up next to his. They put them together, and they made the church, and they made the steeple. That's what I'm talking about. That's doing together what we cannot do alone. And that's one of the greatest and most wonderful blessings we have, because we belong to Christ and we're a part of his church. Lord, this morning we pray. We pray and we praise. We thank you for the power and the joy that comes to us, not only because of you, but because of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the love that we feel for each other. Lord, help us to recognize how that together, united around you, with you leading the way, there really isn't anything that we can't do. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
79, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And again, if you're here this morning, you have a particular heart need, we ask you just to come to this altar and just share it with the Lord. Maybe you're not saved this morning. You came to realize you don't belong because you've never repented of sin and accepted Christ. We invite you to come. Or as a believer, maybe there's a need. Maybe there's a hurt. Maybe there's a longing. Right here together we pray and find the joy of Christ anew. Let us join together. Take my life and let it be. Number 379.
Thank you.
To all you Christian mothers, may you have a very blessed and happy, happy day. And make sure that you take the time, the opportunity as a child, if your mother's still living, go make sure you let her know how much that she means to you. May God bless you. Have a great day together.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Joining together in singing. Again, may God bless you, and you are dismissed. Our quartet will meet immediately.